things are bad.
I had a conversation and he said, no, I respectfully disagree.
Welcome back, everybody. Today is Wednesday of the fourth week of Lent.
And look who's back.
Yes, I needed a little bit of a respite day. Honestly, when I look back at yesterday, I think there's no way I could have done that. It was too busy.
I kind of felt that same way myself.
Well, you know, these videos, they come in different ways. We're just grateful that God allows them to actually get out on time.
So, yeah. So thank you for watching. Thank you for putting up with us as we come to you.
Oh, I have a question for Ken. Oh. How are your Lenten sacrifices and penances going?
Some are okay. Some are a complete failure.
I was kind of thinking the same thing for myself, too. I feel like there's been some successes in some areas where I'm just like, oh, I need a stronger resolve.
Yeah. You know, maybe you feel the same way. Maybe you had some great intentions at the beginning of Lent and you have fallen flat in your face. Breaking Lenten intentions is not a sin. I'll give you an example for me. I wanted to wake up in the morning and work out 4 days a week. I haven't been perfect with that, and not at all recently. Is that a sin? No. It would be good if I did, but, you know, so it's just an encouragement. Don't be in despair.
Right. And it doesn't mean that you can't pick up tomorrow. Right?
I'm getting uncomfortable with this conversation.
You know what's really been helping me is that line, the heroic minute. Like, kid you not, just you need heroic minute. And it's not even a minute that I need. I literally just need 5 seconds to make a good decision. My heroic 5 seconds. Yeah, because once you make the decision, you move on and it's fine. Many generations which should belong to Christ and the church are being lost in these years, and because unhappily from these places the harmful influence of a new paganism is being sent into the whole world. So I just turned 40 this year, and I remember there being a time when stores were closed on Sundays, where Sunday was really a day of rest. There was no sporting, no tournaments. People really didn't work on Sunday. If you really needed something from the grocery store, you kind of had to really search out for that grocery store that would be open, or even the gas station. Not every gas station would be open. And I just think our society has really changed.
And we have seen now the previous generation, like our grandparents, rewind, where they were really faithful. They grew up in a Catholic culture, particularly here in Canada. You could say that. Mm-hmm. Even Quebec, for example, tremendously Catholic province. And then fast forward to now, that generation has been passing away and dying. And so we are going to these funerals of people who have had great faith. And people recognize the fruitfulness of their life, the temporary fruitfulnesses of their life. For example, larger families and businesses and a cohesive family unit. Mm-hmm. And who they were as a good person. And this is all celebrated at a funeral with complete disregard to the faith that allowed the fruitfulness to come forward.
Right.
There's a complete disconnect in the next generation and the next generation. These grandchildren who get up and proclaim the greatness of their grandparents, forgetting they led great lives because they had faith in Jesus.
Right. And you know, maybe in 20 or 30, 40 years, what are these funerals going to look like? Are people even going to want a Catholic funeral?
Yeah, we got some problems, friends. You know, the current generation has lost its faith. Mm-hmm. It's our job to proclaim it now. But, right. You know, things are bad.
Yeah,
things are bad.
We're going to get into this because okay. This whole chapter is all about unity of life. And I think what it means is just how does our faith permeate in every aspect of our life? It's not just reserved for Sunday when we go to Mass. Thus, contemporary paganism is characterized by the search for material well-being at any cost, and by the corresponding disregard, or to put it more accurately, fear, genuine terror of anything that could cause suffering.
Do you think that we have reacted this way with a contemporary paganistic mind of avoiding suffering at all costs these last 2 years? You know, I'm not sure what to say about this, friends, because I know it might offend some people, but I think I'm just okay with that today. Like, how we have responded over this last 2 years, in some ways, has been a faithless response. I had a conversation with and he said all these pandemic protocols and everything are worth it if we could just save one life. No, I respectfully disagree. Should we be prudent? Yes. Should we try and protect the vulnerable? Yes. But should we have done everything absolutely possible to try and save every single person's life? I can't accept that. The World Health Organization says there's 1.3 million people every year that die from traffic accidents. 40,000 Americans every year approximately die in motor vehicle accidents. And in Canada, we have about 8,000 to 9,000 people on any given year that die from vehicle accidents. We could technically eliminate basically every one of those deaths if we reduced the speed limit to 20 kilometers an hour. Now, would that be practical? Would that be wise? Well, if we want to save every life at all costs, that's what we would need to do. But that is not a prudent and wise response to trying to protect a person's life, because you would bring transportation to a grinding halt. And I think what we've done in the last 2 years, we have brought humanity to a grinding halt. We have forgotten the dignity of a human person because of this contemporary paganistic mind. Avoid suffering at all costs. Yes, we need to protect those who are vulnerable, but we have treated everyone as though there is equal risk, with devastating consequences, to the point of not worshiping God, closing down our churches. Some dioceses in Canada went above and beyond the provincial protocols that were being asked of them. Now, I feel like they probably did that because they were sincere and trying to protect people. But at what cost? I think this has caused a devastating wound in the psyche of Catholics within our country and really has robbed people of grace. We have forgotten faith in Jesus Christ through all of this.
With this outlook, words such as God, sin, cross, mortification, eternal life become incomprehensible to a great number of people who are ignorant of their meaning and content.
We've lost perspective. Like, think about Lazarus. Jesus raised Lazarus from the dead. But what did Lazarus gain? I don't know, I'm just a guess. Maybe another 15 years of life. But Lazarus still had to die. And when we forget this, we die spiritually. Again, this contemporary paganistic mindset has blinded us to the truth. Mm. We're made for God. Mm-hmm. That this life we can do mortifications, we can carry our cross, we can gain great grace for the world and those around us. Why are people losing faith? Well, maybe because people like you and me have stopped carrying our crosses, becoming co-redeemers with Christ, mm-hmm. offering our suffering to Jesus, winning grace for the world.
If we Christians really lived in accordance with our faith, the greatest revolution of all times would take place. The effectiveness of our co-redemption depends on each one of us. You should meditate on this. Do I live at every instant of my life this unity of life, at work, in my leisure, at rest? I feel like there's like different categories in our life. You know, there's our faith friends that we talk about faith with. There's our secular friends that we talk about secular things with. There's maybe our work friends that we talk about work things with. And there's not really much overlap. But I guess the question is, why are we not willing to share our faith with people who might not know about the faith? Isn't that the whole point of Christianity? Mm-hmm. to evangelize and to share the beauty? And if we truly believed that eternal life mattered, we would be preaching this from the rooftop.
And I think, correct. And I also think Father Francis is getting to the point, this unity of life. We have to ask, what is that unity of life? And I think it can come down to a very simple intention of the will when we live the duty of the moment for Jesus. One practice St. Alphonsus recommends is, if you're just struggling to turn something into a prayer, just say the word love. That practice could be done in every aspect of our life, whether it be changing a diaper, whether it be cooking a meal, whether it be in the business. You want to offer that task to Jesus, that unity of life and love that Father is talking about? just say love. With the intention of Jesus, I do this out of love for you.
We have to impregnate every environment of society with a Christian spirit. Do not merely have the desire to do so. Each of you, wherever you are working, has to give a divine content to the job you are doing. And through your prayer, mortification, and well-finished professional work, you have to see to it that you are formed and form other souls in the truth of Christ, so that he may be proclaimed Lord of all earthly affairs. So Ken and I were just sort of having a little discussion about, you know, the mortifications that we do, the little penances, offering things up for God out of love, and how those are important in winning souls for Christ. And I was kind of more looking at it from a perspective of doing things that are visible to other people, because I think for me, it's much harder to put myself out there where people know that, you know, we're pro-life, that we believe in the sanctity of marriage, that we follow the teachings of the church. I feel like that requires a lot of fortitude, especially when you're expressing it to people maybe who don't believe the same. But I feel like what Father Fernandez is saying is that we need to impregnate and permeate throughout all of society. Basically, take up space. Like Christians, we need to take up space. I heard a Catholic speaker say this once. When you have the opportunity to put a Christian symbol on your vehicle or a statue outside your front step, or even having a pro-life pin on your jacket or something of a visible sign, wearing a religious medal so that other people can see that you are a follower of Christ, that we should take up that space in society.
Yeah, take up that space. I think we've fallen into this false pastoralism where we have to just be accommodating to everyone's needs and wishes and other religious beliefs. We can respect another person's religious beliefs, but that doesn't mean we take down crosses from our schools, from our homes. I would say even from our workplace. If you're a Christian business owner, why not put up a cross? Isn't that who you are? Isn't that what you believe? Why do we need to separate faith and business? And said, we're so afraid. Oh, I'm afraid to offend. I might lose business. I might lose a dollar. No, we don't serve the dollar. We serve Jesus Christ. So in conclusion, friends, please share with us below in the comments what stood out to you and why. Pray the rosary along with us right up there, and we will see you tomorrow.